It is my joy to be here. We are going to be in the book of 1 John, so if you want to open up there. But it is my joy to be here. After something good happens to you, after something joyful happens to you, after you receive good news, first thing we do and should do is praise God and thank Him. But after we receive this good news or this joyful information, what's the next thing we typically do? We pick up the phone and call somebody to share it. Because sharing joy intensifies it. Sharing joy completes it. So as God moves in my heart as I study His Word, it is my joy to share it with you. It is completing my joy to serve you this way. And I am so appreciative to be here today. Allow me to serve you today. Allow me to serve you next week, because this is a two-part message. So I'm hopeful that you can make it next week. And this is a taste of what we're going through Sunday evening. So allow me to serve you in Sunday evenings. If you haven't come, I would just encourage you to allow me to have that joy to serve you. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you are our God, that you have given your Son to us, that we may have a relationship with you. I thank you that you are a God in control. And I do think of Bobby right now. Father, we lift her up as her family, and we pray for her, Father. We pray that your will be done in Liberia as it is in heaven. We pray that even now you would touch the hearts that are around Bobby and Tammy, that they would reveal your love to them and they would be receptive, Father. May your name be glorified there, Lord, through them. And Father, as we move forward, may your will be done here today, Lord. May your word go forth into the hearts, Lord. May your spirit then change our very minds and our very manners, that we would love you more, that we would know you more, and that we would glorify you. And Father, I pray for me. I pray that you would remove all doubts and anxiety, Lord, that only your words would come forth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me pose a question to you. If there was something that you could know for sure that you know that would bring you joy, what would that be? If you could know one thing for certain that you have come to know, one thing that could bring you joy, what would that be? For some, I dare say it would be that I know for sure that I know Brett Favre is retiring and I know the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl. That would bring me complete joy. It would be temporary, but there would be joy. How about, though, if I could know for sure that I know I'm going to have a spouse that I will love till the day I die? I think that would bring us complete joy for some. How about if we knew for sure that we know the winning lottery numbers the next time the jackpot's up to $300 million and we could have $300 million, would that bring us complete joy? How about a really serious one? How about that I know for sure that I know my children are going to know Jesus Christ? I know for sure that I know that my children will not die before me. Would that bring us joy? What is it that you would want to know that you know for sure that would bring you joy, peace, and rest? John wants us to know something. He wants us to be sure of something. And that something then does lead to complete joy. Let's read God's word together in the book of 1 John. We're going to start in chapter 1 and work our way all the way to chapter 2, verse 6. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abide in him ought to himself also to walk even as he walked. Those that have been coming to Sunday nights, that's old news. So I need to just review for those that haven't been. John was there. John touched Jesus. John heard Jesus. John experienced Jesus Christ firsthand. And he's writing these things to us. And he declares them to us that we may have fellowship in the family of God. Fellowship with them, fellowship with the Father, and fellowship with Jesus. Fellowship in the family of God. In the very next verse after he says that, he says, I write these things unto you that your joy may be full. Then he gets into fellowship with the Father. He talks about walking in the light with the Father. And then he tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us as we're walking in the light. Then he tells us that Jesus Christ is our righteous advocate, and that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. And then along comes verse 3 right after that. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. How do we know that we are not being deceived? How do we know that we're walking in the light with the Father? How do we know that Jesus Christ is our propitiation for our sins? And how can I know that I can have full joy? Well, it comes from being God's child, for sure, and being in his family. But how can I know that I know him? How can I know that I am in the family of God? And that's what we're going to take a look at. We're going to look at the knowledge that John is talking about. And there's three things we're going to look at in that knowledge. We're going to look at the type of knowledge, we're going to look at the key to that knowledge, and we're going to look at the importance of that knowledge. And then next week, we're going to look at the test, which I prefer now to call an examination, because it really is an examination of our hearts. So that's next week. But let's get started, because we do have a lot to go through. We're going to look at that verse again, chapter 2, verse 3, and we're going to look at actually the King James and the ESV. They say the same thing. They say it just a little differently. I'm going to read them both. Chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. ESV says it this way. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. So the first thing about the type of knowledge is I just like to define knowledge. And really the Greek word, I believe, is gnosko, has two senses to it that apply here. The first sense is coming to know something, beginning knowledge. I've never seen the piano. I look over there. I come to know the piano. The second sense of it is complete understanding or complete knowledge. Complete knowledge of something. I know something. So I can know that I have come to know the piano. And I can actually go over to the piano and I wouldn't want to play it, but I can open it up and I can look at it and I can get to know it. So now I know that I have come to know the piano. Complete understanding that you have come to know something. A complete sense of knowing that we have come to know the piano. The fact that we have come to know him. Complete knowledge of complete knowledge. This is a type of knowledge that leads to definitive confirmation. Definite confirmation. So the next thing we would see then is that we would want to look at what the object of this knowledge is. The object of our knowledge is not the piano. So what is that object? And we're going to look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. And what we'll see here is the object of this knowledge is Jesus Christ. We're just going to read through it and I'll explain as we go. And really there's a transition here. In first chapter, John starts talking about walking in the light with the Father. And for 3, 4, 5 verses all the way to here, he's talking about fellowship with the Father. And he's going to transition here to Jesus Christ. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. This is where he transitions to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he, speaking of Jesus, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, Jesus Christ, if we keep our commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in verily is love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. And here's where we can also see that it's Jesus. He that saith he abideth in him ought to himself also walk even as he walked. Jesus Christ walked the earth. The object that we are to know is Jesus Christ. So this is the type of knowledge that leads to definite confirmation that we know Jesus. In order to have fellowship in the family of God, we must be a member. Jesus gets us in. Jesus gets us into the family of God. This is ultimately an important question. How do we know that we have come to know Jesus Christ and are a member of the family of God? So, we see that this is a type of knowledge that leads to definite confirmation that we know Jesus Christ. Those are the first two types of things of knowledge. The third is that this is a personal relationship knowledge. This is a personal relationship knowledge. God is relational. On Sundays, we've been looking at relationship with the Father, relationship with each other. It's been relational all the way up to here. And now we are looking at Jesus Christ, and this is relational. It is not based on understanding who Jesus is alone. It is relational. And the first thing we're going to look at the relational aspect of this, is that it is founded in love. A relationship with Jesus Christ is founded in love. And we're going to look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. This is a relationship with Jesus that is founded in love. God's word. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Let's read 9 and 10 one more time. Really linger in there and watch what he's saying. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. In this was revealed the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Is there any question that our relationship with God is founded in his love for us? We did not love him, he loved us. It's not on our part. His love for us was manifested in Jesus Christ. It was revealed to us, it was given to us, it was presented to us in Jesus Christ. And he is the only way that we can have a relationship. Our faith, our belief, must be put in the manifestation of God's love to us, Jesus Christ. So it's a love-founded relationship with Jesus that we're looking at. This is a type of knowledge, is a personal relationship knowledge that is founded in love. The second thing is that we see it is indwelling-based. Our relationship with God is indwelling-based. We're going to look at the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. This is God's word. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide in you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you, with you, and shall be in you. Remember, we're looking at an indwelling-based relationship. Christ here is talking about the coming of the Spirit. Pentecost had not happened yet. So that's why he is saying he will be in you. But we as believers, once we are saved, the Holy Spirit indwells us immediately. But I want to reread this one more time and look at it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that may abide with you. What's the next two words there? Forever. He may abide with you forever. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be, next word, in you. This is an indwelling-based relationship with God. You cannot have a relationship with God without being born again and having the Holy Spirit indwelling you. Let's look a little further at verse 18. 18 through 21. This is God's word. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world sees me no more, but you see me because I live. You shall live also. At that day ye shall see I know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keep them, He it is that loves me, and he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. God is relational. God is relational. Look at verse 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He's relational, and he's in us. He that has my commandments and keep them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The relationship knowledge that we're looking at is founded in love, and it is indwelling based. Jesus lives in us. So, the type of knowledge that we're looking at is the type of knowledge that leads to definite, definitive confirmation that we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that is founded in love and is indwelling based. Christianity is not a religion. It is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This is not a know of Jesus Christ, know about Jesus Christ. It is a relationship. Best example I could give would be Representative Bart Stupak. I know of Bart Stupak. I know about Bart Stupak, but if he walked in the door and I walked up to him, he would not know me. We don't have a relationship. As we test this relationship knowledge that we have with Christ, one of two things could happen. It could be a truthful, light-piercing conviction that we don't, or it could be a glorious confirmation leading to a deeper understanding of who God is and his love for us. But in order to get there, we have to have a proper understanding of the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Do we really understand that? Do we really understand the relationship that we are to have with him? Do we in our hearts understand the relationship? And I would suggest to you that if you were listening to that Bart Stupak analogy and you agreed with it, you don't understand. Our relationship is not professionally based. It is not a relationship with a coworker. It is not a relationship based on internet or television. It is not even a family relationship with God, though we are his children. It is certainly not a religion-based or church-based. It is indwelling-based. Bart Stupak does not indwell me. God indwells me. This is important to understand. This. There is nobody that can be closer to us. There is nobody that can know us more. There is nobody that can love us more. There is nobody that can be more intimate with us than the God that indwells us. That is what the relationship test is all about. Truthful, light-piercing conviction, or glorious confirmation to a deeper understanding of who God is and the love he has for us. So we've looked at the type of knowledge. Let's move on to the key to knowledge. The key to this knowledge. And the key to the knowledge is truth. Truth is the key to the knowledge. If God is truth, and he is, truth is the key to knowledge. Let's reread verses 3 and 4. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in us, in him. God is pure light. John tells us that. God is pure light. In him is no darkness at all. God is pure holiness. God is pure truth. He is not 99.999999% truth and 0.000001% deception. There is none in him. Truth is the key. We live in a world of lies and deception. The world embraces deception. The world tells us that anything and everything is more satisfying than God. And I fall into that. I fall into those lies. I embrace that deception once in a while. We yield to that temptation. Then we justify our actions. We are a nation of liars. Saw a commercial 2 or 3 months ago already, and I've used this analogy on Sunday nights, but it just moved me when I saw this. It was a commercial. It was a lead-in to a talk show. And they had a comedian that was going to be on the talk show, and they went into this little commercial blurb, and the comedian said this. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, I do not have to make my wife the most important person in my life. I don't have to make my wife the most important person in my life. I just have to make her think she is. And that was hilarious. They all laughed. But how funny is that really? How funny is it if I said to you, I don't have to make Renee the most important person in my life. I just have to make her think she is. I don't have to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and mind. I just have to make you think I do. I don't have to love my brothers and sisters in Christ as Christ loved the church. I just have to make you think I do. How about this? I don't have to know Jesus. I just have to make you think I do. Or watch out, because there's this too. I don't have to know Jesus. I just have to think I do. Self-deception. It's not funny. It's not funny. Truth is the key to know that we know. Truth is the key. Truth is the key if we have a love-founded, indwelling-based relationship with Christ. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Truth is the key. The first aspect of truth I'd like to look at is that this is an individual truth. It is an individual truth. Two things to notice within the scripture we're looking at is that there is a transition and there is a setup. There is a distinct transition here from the first chapter where John uses we, I think it was like 17 times, I'm not sure, a lot. He says we, all the way, and he starts transitioning where we are, and we're going to look at that. The other thing that he does is he does this, in my mind, it's completely right, because it's God's word, but it's kind of backwards to the way that I would approach something. He tells us we can have joy and its fellowship in God's family, and then he talks about walking in the light, and then he talks about Jesus Christ being our righteous advocate, and then he talks about Jesus Christ being our propitiation. And then he gives us verse 3 where we are. If I were witnessing to you or anybody, I would start with Jesus Christ is your propitiation. Here's the gospel. And then I would say, once you've accepted him, now Jesus Christ is your righteous advocate. Now you're walking with the Father, and there you are in the family of God in joy. So it's kind of backwards, but he comes here in this direction. Why go backwards? And why does he transition here? Let's take a look at verses 1 through 4. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. John tells us the result of joy first. He tells us, here's what it is, and here's how it works, and he brings us to this point, and now he tells us, be sure that you can have it. Be sure that you know. And the other thing, he transitions to the we from the we. Take a look at 3 and 4. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And hereby we the people in the family of God, we that are born again, we that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Notice verse 4 is not we anymore. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The person in verse 4 has no part of verse 3, has no part of fellowship with God. All of chapter 1. John personalizes it here. This is an individual truth. An individual truth. He separates out the liars from the family of God. Is this harsh? I think it's out of love. I think it's out of love. Notice the gospel right before the test in verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins. Our sins. There's the we again. But he goes on from there. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He puts the gospel right before the test. It's an individual truth. It's for each one of us. It is for me, and it's for each one of you. This is not a truth that you go, I wish Joe Blow was here with me today because he needs to hear this. This is for us. It's an individual truth. The next thing we're going to look at about truth is that liars don't have the truth in them. And I want to be clear about this because context is huge here. When I say liar, when John calls people liars here, he's not speaking of liars in general. Compulsive liars. He is speaking within this context of this verse. If you say you know the Father, but you don't keep his commandments, you are a liar in this context. There is also a truth context here. The truth not in you. What truth is he looking at? And that's what I want to look at. What is the truth that he is looking at? And we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 1 to take a look at that truth. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 and beyond. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. This is God's word. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I want to focus on verse 13. And again, if you're following along over here, that would be the ESV version. It states the same thing. It's just easier to follow than my precious King James. Let's read it in the ESV. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. I'm just going to read verse 4 back in John where we are, the verse we're looking at. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The truth he is speaking about is the salvation truth this verse is talking about. It is not enough to hear the gospel of your salvation. You have to believe it. You have to put your faith in it. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth and believed the gospel of your salvation and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. We need to believe it. That is the truth in us that verse 4 is talking about. Putting your faith in the truth. Having the truth in this context is being born again. Having the Holy Spirit. Being sealed with the Holy Spirit. Remember that other word? Forever. Establishing our indwelling-based relationship with God. Which leads to one more aspect of the truth in us that verse 4 is talking about. It's in the Gospel of John chapter 14. Gospel of John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and shall be in you. If we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Spirit of truth in us. I believe that is part of what John is talking about. If they are lying, they do not have the truth in them. It is the truth of the gospel. They haven't believed in it either. But I believe he's talking about the Holy Spirit of truth in us too. Because you can't have one without the other. You cannot believe. If you don't believe, you don't have it. It is required to have the Spirit of truth in us to have that relationship. Let's look at where we are. Truth is the key to knowledge. It is an individual truth. There are no we's. It is I. Liars don't have the truth in them. In this context, they are lying. They don't have the truth in them. They didn't believe the knowledge they had of him. Said they know him, but didn't believe the truth that would have given them the Holy Spirit. So, it is an individual truth. Liars don't have the truth. And the third thing we'll look at is that liars are exposed by their actions. Again, this is liars in this context. These are people that are lying about the fact that Jesus Christ, that they know him. Actions speak louder than words. Also, lack of actions speak louder than words. This is easy to see and understand. We're going to do one quick scripture on that. Matthew 15, verses 7 through 8. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But their heart is far from me. Liars are exposed by their actions. This is an individual truth. Liars don't have the truth in them. And liars are exposed by their actions. And there's a fourth one, which we're not going to look at this week, but it ties closely and is a very important underlying truth that we will look at next week. True action. True action is the reality. Truth within the action is the key to the test. This includes motive and manner. Keep that in mind for next week. So we've looked at the type of knowledge it is. The definite confirmation of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that is founded in love and indwelling based. It is confirmation of that. Or not. Last, let's take a look at the importance of this knowledge. The importance of this knowledge, and we're going to look at the Gospel of John chapter 17. Gospel of John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. This is God's word. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Look at verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. How important is this knowledge? Our eternity rests in this knowledge. Not only where we'll spend it, but who we'll spend it with. This is the most important truth each one of us should ever be sure of. There's one more I'd like to look at, and then we'll be done. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. How important is it to know that we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that is founded in love and is indwelling based? How important is it to know that? This is God's word. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Verse 22. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and in thy name gone to church every week, and in thy name we have teached, and in thy name we have preached, and in thy name we have cleaned the church, and in thy name we have cut the grass, we have done many wonderful works. And he will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Don't be the many. Be sure. Be absolutely certain. Next week we'll look at the test. I can't leave this right here, because I'll tell you what, that is bad news. But there is good news. Jesus Christ is our propitiation, but not for ours only, for those of the whole world. Jesus Christ went to the cross and died that we're not one of the many. If you have never put your faith and trust in what Jesus did on the cross, please do that. Turn from your sins. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you that you are our God and that you have given yourself to us, that you indwell us out of love, amazing love. We were your enemies, but you saved us. And Father, as we move into communion now with you, may this be a special time remembering what Christ did for us with the broken body and with the shed blood. And may we walk out of here joyful, knowing that you are our God and that you love us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.